You know, as a preacher, there are times when you really do stand back and marvel at the way that God brings events together. When the preaching schedule is being laid out a number of months ago through this series in Romans, of course, we had no idea that we would have a guest here this morning sharing his story and recalling for us his baptism and how that has changed his life. And here we are speaking about baptism from Romans chapter 6. And I see the hand of the Lord weaving these things together, and I'm grateful to God for it. Let's turn to Scripture, Romans chapter 6. I'll read that chapter for us. Romans chapter 6. Paul continues his flow of thought right from chapter 5, where last week we heard him speak of the two humanities, a humanity under Adam, a humanity under the burden and the bondage of sin leading to death, and the new humanity that had been ushered in by Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, a humanity of freedom and of life. And we found that the life of Christ was a superabundant kind of grace and gift that in many ways could not be compared to the old humanity under Adam. And so at the end of chapter 5, Paul asks the question, or notes that where law was added so that the trespass increased, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. And Paul right away picks up that train of thought. If any of us are thinking that perhaps by sinning more, we could experience more grace, Paul wants to correct that as he begins chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. Rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves of sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, life in the new age in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Behind every picture is a story. And I want to take just a few minutes as we begin this message by telling you a little bit of the story behind this picture. A good number of us, I hope you can recognize who's in there. Maybe the lights have to be dimmed a little bit. Ho already talked of that day in July of 2012 when Daniel Kim and I happened to be in Nanjing, China that weekend that Ho and the two of us were able to attend Jumu Church for the very first time. Ho had been looking for a church where he sensed belonging, and as he went to some Three Self churches in Nanjing, he didn't experience that. By the grace of God, he met a fellow colleague in his own campus who he didn't know before, but was traveling with in Massachusetts, attending a week-long conference, and he met a professor who was part of this large contingent of professors there in Massachusetts and found out from him he was a Christian, and he belonged to a house church, Ho told me back then. I didn't even know there were house churches in Nanjing. I found out there are as many as 3,000 in my city. And Professor Wang introduced him to Jumu Church. Ho was certain that Wang would know, I want to join a church that preaches like the one I came from in Vancouver. You got to listen to the sermons that Pastor Andrew and Mike and Dave preach online to make sure that those sermons are similar to what you preach in Jumu Church. And so Wang did that. He listened to our sermons, read our website, and he said, our church is very much like that. You will like our church. Turns out they are deeply rooted in the Reformed tradition. One of their current church leaders just finished a year's stay at Calvin Seminary in Grand Rapids. That Sunday morning, as we entered and I was listening to the sermon, Wang, who was translating, was sitting next to me on my left. Daniel was sitting next to me on my right, and Ho was sitting a few seats over there on my left. As the church leader, Pastor John, was preaching, I began to weep. I began to weep because it was as if everything Pastor John was saying in that sermon was connected to the conversation that Ho and Daniel and I had the previous Saturday night with a few beers in a pub in Nanjing. Daniel and I were talking to Ho, and he was us, about the Christian faith, about baptism, and about the call that God seems to have on Ho to be an instrument of the kingdom. And he had questions for us, we had questions for him. It was a wonderful conversation, and I had so sensed the presence of the Lord in this sermon because everything he said in some way connected to the conversation we had the previous night. And I thought to myself, Lord, if Brother Ho does not hear the voice of the Lord in Jumu Church today, he'll never hear it. And I wept with joy that the Lord had brought Ho to Jumu Church. And I knew that first day that the hand of God had touched him. And here he found a community of faith, of people who, like him, had come to experience and know Christianity abroad and then had to resettle back in their own culture. Here were people who were academics. Here were people who were on fire for the kingdom of God, and we heard that. We heard them speak about China as a country that needed the gospel, and here were some ambassadors. I was so thankful when we left Nanjing that the Lord had answered so many prayers. And it was about just over a year when I heard from Pastor Ho that he was going to be baptized. Baptized in August of 2013. And that brings me to this picture. Coincident with his baptism and his upcoming birthday, the very beginning of November 2013, just a few days after he had been baptized, Joanne Vogt said, we need to have a party. We need to have a new birth party, a new birthday party to celebrate the baptism of our brother Ho and his upcoming birthday. And we did just that. You can see the guest of honor was right there in picture form, and the nine of us were there to celebrate the new birthday of our brother. And that is precisely what needs to happen when an individual experiences the new birth of the resurrection, into the resurrection of Jesus Christ that baptism signifies. This is precisely the new birth that Paul is thinking about and writing about in Romans chapter 6. Mike already at the beginning of the service spoke about the way in which in Paul's mind, baptism was none other than a new exodus. You see, every Israelite up until Paul's day, and even some who continued in that now wrong way of thinking, every Israelite up until Paul's day, including Paul, had their identity rooted in a historical event, and that historical event was none other than the deliverance that Israel experienced under bondage from Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and that passing through the Red Sea event into new community under the lordship of Yahweh in the wilderness. This was the defining event for Israel. Their identity was caught up in everything that that event represented, a freedom from bondage and deliverance into a new relationship under the lordship of Yahweh, gathered together in his presence. They were his new covenant people. Their whole identity was caught up in that event. And that surely is swimming in Paul's mind as he's writing now about people who have been transferred from an old solidarity under Adam to a new solidarity under Christ. People who have found new life free from the connection to Adam and found a new life liberated under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what we talked about last Sunday. And in Paul's mind, especially as we think about the way that he uses the image of slavery later in chapter 6, surely Paul is thinking about this Exodus event, which now in Jesus is being renewed, reinterpreted, and reestablished, not in a Red Sea event, but in the death and resurrection of the Messiah who had come. There is a strong parallel to Israel's story being a story that took them through the Red Sea, allowed them to experience a liberation from Egyptian idolatry, being established as God's people in the wilderness under the covenant with the inheritance of the promised land before them. The parallels show us how Jesus himself fulfilled the story of Israel. We find redemption through the baptism into Christ. We experience life through the death of Jesus and through the presence of his Holy Spirit, and we look forward to a day in which we will know the inheritance of new creation, which we already experience as a foretaste in our day. This is swimming in the back of Paul's mind as he speaks about baptism. And when Ho himself was baptized, we knew this new birthday had to be celebrated. Paul speaks about baptism as entrance into new life under the lordship of Jesus Christ, empowered through the same power that rose him from the dead. These diagrams, I thank Mike for sharing with me this week. These diagrams help us think about the way in which we are transferred in baptism from the old age under Adam and sin and death into the new age under Jesus and liberation and life. And every Jew in Jesus' day was anticipating the coming of a new age, that second circle that you see on the right. Every Jew in Jesus' day was anticipating this new age, and it would come when the Messiah would arrive. And Jesus unmistakably knew himself to be that Messiah, what they didn't expect was the way in which that age would come. It would come through the death and resurrection of the Messiah. It would come in a way that introduced the new age today in the present, but not yet fully present. There was this overlap of the old age with the new age that we find signified in this way in the diagram. And as Paul speaks about baptism, he's speaking about entrance into this in-between age, which is the beginning of the new age under Jesus' rule. The age of grace, the age of justification, the age of holiness and righteousness. This is the very eternal life that Paul is speaking about, the age to come. And this, says Paul, is what's happened to you. You are citizens. You are sons and daughters of the new age. And so it's impossible for you to go on living as though you were under the old age, slaves to sin and death. You have been raised with Jesus to new life, to righteousness, to holiness. Of course you can't go on sinning any longer. Every time we celebrate the gift of baptism, we hear this identity being tangibly demonstrated to us through the waters of baptism, of a person whose old sinful nature has been put to death as they go under the water, and as a new nature has been given to them by grace through faith as they come out of the water. Every now and then in my ministry over the last 15 years, I've had individuals, or sometimes couples even, say, "You know, Andrew, we were wondering if it might be possible for us to do the baptism, maybe of our son or daughter who's quite young, or perhaps of this new believer. We're wondering if it might be possible to do the baptism, you know, in our backyard with our pool and maybe a few family members. Or maybe we could do it somewhere else and just have some close friends and family there with us. Would it be okay if we did our baptism in that kind of a setting?" And then I take just a few minutes and I try to explain to them the significance of the sacrament of baptism and how not only does baptism show how a new believer or a child is also part of the covenant family of God, but I show them how baptism shows the whole community who and what their identity is. The whole community is caught up into this story, the story of God taking his people out of sin and bondage and establishing them as his new people under the lordship of Jesus Christ, people who are called to be a blessing. Baptism shows this, and you want to just have a few people experience the joy of that? And quickly they see no. The whole community needs to be reminded of their baptism and of their identity. Paul speaks of being buried with Christ and being raised to new life, and then goes on to say, how can you now, slaves to Jesus, slaves to his newfound freedom? And Paul himself says this metaphor of slavery is a difficult one. You can almost hear him say, I speak to you in earthly means or in human measures because you are too weak to understand. But you can see this metaphor of slavery almost doesn't apply because the slavery that they experienced under Egypt, under Pharaoh, under the weight of sin, that slavery held them in bondage, and the slavery that they experience under Jesus is a victory, is a freedom, is a liberation. But he uses that metaphor and says, you now are slaves to righteousness, slaves to the kingdom of righteousness and holiness. How can you sin any longer? Don't you know you've died to that? And every single one of us, even as we hear this about ourselves, we think about the ways in which sin still has a hold on us. And sometimes we give that sin an authority in our life or a permission in our life. And Jesus looks at us and says, do you know who you are? You can't speak that way anymore. You can't think that way anymore about your possessions or about yourself or about other people. You can't live with grudges anymore. You must forgive. Do you know who you are? And we hear in our own heart the way God is calling us away from sin. We've died to sin. And if anything, baptism decisively declares that we are dead to sin. But we hear through the story of Scripture that we must continue dying to sin. Even as Mike led us in a prayer of confession, we recognize that we must daily die to sin because we are slaves of the great Lord and forgiver, Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. We can't sin anymore. And this new identity, this identity that we have as the people of God who are living under the rule of resurrection power, under the righteous rule of King Jesus, this identity has its effect on God's people. I want to share with you just this story, and I have Ho's permission to share it. We had some wonderful discussion this past week with each other, and one of the things I asked Ho this week is I said, Ho, how was it for your wife when you returned from Vancouver? You now having this desire to find a church and to express your faith. How was that for her? Well, it was difficult for her. Saturday and Sunday are in China, like in North America, are typically holidays or days when we don't work and we do family activities. And at one point, my wife said to me, are you always going to go to church on Sunday morning? And I don't remember what Ho said, but I suspect he said something like, yeah, that's part of who I am now. That's part of my rhythm. I do plan to go to church. And one of the things that Ho shared with me, and this is really a little bit of an aside, but I think it helps us understand what people experience when they return. One of the things that Ho struggled with is he came to faith in English. He read the Bible in English. And he said, Andrew, I wasn't able to explain the Bible to my wife in Mandarin. I didn't know how to translate this faith that I had received in English. I didn't know how to translate that into Mandarin, so it was hard for me because I couldn't explain it to my wife. Over time, I could, as I heard preaching in Mandarin, as I read English alongside a good Chinese translation, over time I could, but initially it was very difficult for me. So I said, Ho, how was it that, because I knew, how was it that your wife began attending with you? Well, Ho said, at one point, my wife said to me, you know, Ho, you have changed a lot, and I really like who you've become. I'm going to go to church too. You have changed a lot, and I really like who you've become. And I'm going to go to church too. You see what happens when we are raised up to new life, life in the Spirit, life in the community of faith, life in the new age. It changes us. God's people are changed, are remade, restored. And that change is a kind of change that God desires for all creation. We are called to tangibly display this renewing power of Jesus to renew, to heal, to restore, to bring unity to all aspects of life. Slaves to the King, to the New Age. People of God, that is what we are. All thanks and praise be to God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It seems most fitting, I think, as we pray now, for me to take a moment and invite Ho to come forward. I want to pray for Ho together as we conclude our service. Thank God for all that has been done in him and through him. But more than that, I want us, as we pray for Ho, to pray for Jumu Church. I think we can gift our brothers and sisters in Nanjing with a prayer together for Jumu Church, for empowerment, for the ability to continue living as ambassadors of the kingdom in China. And I want to pray that as we pray for Ho and Jumu Church, that we also would have opportunity to pray for our church and say, Lord, may the fruit of the new age continue to fill us. May the fruit of the new age continue to multiply in our midst and flow into our communities and into the lives that you bring us into contact with. I want us to pray for an empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we might live more faithfully in the new age. So, Ho, I would love it if you'd come up right here as we pray. And I'm going to ask, perhaps, Daniel, I think it would be most fitting if you came and prayed here with us. And maybe some folks who feel led to do that and just gather around Ho, and as we pray for his church, I think it would be fitting, maybe some of the Mosaic friends or elders or intercessors in our church, please don't be shy. We'll gather around Ho and have a time of prayer together for him, for his church, and for our empowerment. If you want to do that, please come forward. I hope some do, because it'll make me look embarrassed if you don't. We're going to pray for Ho, for Jumu Church, and for the empowering work of the Holy Spirit to continue in us and among us. Some of you may wish to participate in this prayer and speak out part of that prayer. Please do use the microphone. I'm going to ask one more favor. Somebody who's got a phone that can record this, please videotape it. So we're going to send this to Jumu Church. We want to send that video with Ho to Jumu Church so that they can be encouraged and blessed and know that we're praying for them even as they're praying for us. So this will go to, no, he needs that iPad because he's going to pray for us and he's got a prayer written down. Don't take away his prayer. Okay. Somebody's got this videoing? Colleen does. All right. Let's pray to God. There are moments in our walk with you, Lord Jesus, when we do taste the fruit of the age to come in wonderful, delightful ways. And we sense that this is one of those moments. One of those moments when we see the power of God at work, when we see how the events of history are orchestrated by the hand of God, when we see how God allows people's paths to cross for the sake of the kingdom. And even as we pray for Ho, we know this to be true in the lives of many people in this church and in many churches around the world. The hand of God is at work. The kingdom is on the move. And we thank you so much that we might celebrate that today and give thanks for that today together as your people. We lift up our brother Ho. We thank you, Father, for the way that you've brought him to New West Church. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the inquisitive mind that you gave him and have given him. We thank you for the way that the Bible became for him a textbook that he knew he had to read voraciously. And that printed word has become a living word in the heart of our dear brother by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for bringing him and all of us into new life. Life through the waters, set free from sin, resurrected with our Lord Jesus Christ. May the power of that resurrection continue to fill Ho. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint him and strengthen him for his task as professor, as teacher, as father, as husband, as son, son-in-law. Oh God, will you anoint him with power so that he might continue to serve as your faithful instrument and witness. And as we pray for Ho, we pray for Jumu Church. We thank you for that congregation of faithful men and women who too know the life and the fruit of the new age and are living out that life in their own context with a desire to see China increasingly know Jesus as Lord and not the party. Oh Lord, we pray that you will anoint them with courage, that they might be brave Christians in their calling. We pray that you would surround them with the protective blood of Jesus so that they will not experience hardship or oppression. We pray that you will fill them with the strong power of your Holy Spirit. Anoint them so that they might be equipped and clothed with power from on high to be instruments in your kingdom. We thank you for the bond that we have with Jumu Church. And as we send Ho home, we pray your blessing on them. I'm going to give opportunity for others here to pray as you feel led to do that.